Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Mack Weldon. All right?
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three extremely kind and knowledgeable boys. You have myself, Tommy Dasilo. Hello and thank you for joining us. Also got sitting over here, we've got Ben Vanell.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tommy. Best of luck to you as well. Best of luck to you in all of your endeavours. Hey, I'm just so proud of you.
You too, man. I'm really excited for this journey that we're about to go on together over the next hour.
Live, laugh and love. That is my motto and that's the new podcast motto.
Who knows what kind of content we're going to create here.
Oh, I'm excited for it.
Could be bad. One man who's going to help us on this journey is the other host of the show, Adam Knox.
Hello, I am your guide through the next hour of journey. First stop, welcome.
Who's this character who has fleeting command of the English language?
For a second, I thought of him as like a genie. But then, like, I realized that was stupid and so moved away. But then he lost all personality and I couldn't think of what to say.
He said, first stop, the beginning.
Yeah, chapter one. But first, we need to go back.
Oh. That was some genie. You ain't never had a friend like me, a real shit cunt who can't hold a character together.
I watched Aladdin again for the...
We've already talked about this.
In fact, you gave me shit for not remembering that I'd already talked about it.
I'm saying I watched Aladdin again.
Oh, no. Since then?
No, I've forgotten that I'd already talked about this.
Oh, let's talk about Aladdin every week from now on. Let's have Aladdin's corner.
All right.
Let's hop on the magic carpet, head on down to Agrabah. This can be the new fashion report where we just talk, instead of talking about what we're wearing, we talk about Aladdin.
We should go like meet one of the people who's in the stage show of Aladdin and do a podcast following them through it and call it Aladdin Aladdin.
Okay.
Eh?
Say it again.
Aladdin Aladdin.
Aladdin.
Aladdin Aladdin.
Pretty sexist title, don't you think?
Mm. Why?
You don't want to follow a lady in Aladdin?
No, it's not called a lady in. We'll follow a lady in a tramp.
Not bad. Okay. Not bad. That'll be cool when they do a staged musical version of Lady in the Tramp.
Yeah, I said Lady in a Tramp as well.
I was going to say, we can follow the porno Aladdin.
Oh, the same joke I made, but filthier.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
That must
gross.
That must exist.
I bet it's called something. A lot of those porno names are less funny than people think they are.
Yeah, good point.
Everyone's always like, oh man, what do you reckon the porno versions of that called? Like Total Reballs or something? And it's always just called like Total Fucking or something.
I think all of them now are just called like 30 Rock, the porno.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a lot of them that are called This Ain't.
Yes.
This Ain't 30 Rock.
Yeah. That's a good point. At what point did the porno industry, they couldn't handle the burden of having to come up with these pun titles anymore and they just gave up and used the suffix of a porno parody.
It's almost for like search engine purposes. Like if you Google the thing you want a porno of and then it comes up.
Yeah, that's true. But that never happens.
No.
You never Google Star Wars. What's this?
Well, yeah, this happened.
But it gives you plausible deniability, I suppose.
This actually ties into something that I read during the week. Now, this has happened before with video games.
Was it a guide on how to jerk your little dick?
Yes, a guide.
Step-by-step guide.
Yeah. One of those annoying YouTube tutorials where the guy's got one of those real ASR voices.
So just quick update to my last video about how to tickle that fanny.
Tickle that pickle.
Tickle that fanny.
Just
that's my favorite app.
Hey, leave any comments for any suggestions of body parts you want me to figure out how to make cum. Like, comment, and subscribe. And like I always say here on this channel, hey, keep on jacking.
Keep on jacking in the free world.
Need more YouTube channels with catchphrases. That's what I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
More tutorials where there's a catchphrase at the end. Anyway, there was a story during the week about the Mario Kart 8 came out on the Switch and I think it was Pornhub reported a big drop in their numbers on the day it came out.
Oh, that happened with Zelda.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think maybe Overwatch.
Yes,
maybe.
I was going to say Overwatch.
No, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's...
I think it's just going to happen with every big video game from now until the end of time.
Yeah.
But then they notice when people do come back in, the search terms have changed to like Mario putting his dick in the exhaust of a Yoshi bike.
What do you reckon the numbers were like on 9/11? Do you reckon photo searches went down?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Or way up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because otherwise,
I'm so sad.
Either like combination
the horniest
of
mood, sadness.
Combination of I need to distract myself from what's going on.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And also, if I don't jerk my dick right now, then the terrorists have won.
Yeah. Oh, say, can you see?
Well, it's great that Pornhub has this like this thing now, this thing they can seize on a news story. Otherwise, people would forget about porn.
It's like, it's funny to me that Pornhub have a press department where they're like sending out press releases to Kotaku
and
stuff.
How do we sell this porn stuff to people? How do we do it? People aren't taking it up.
We've taken a huge hit in the numbers. How do we spin this into a positive?
Speaking of Mario Kart, I realized. I think we all realized that last week we forgot to say if we liked the game, kind of. We're all having a good time. I
like
the game.
I think I only said like, oh, it's a perfect game. But we didn't really talk about it.
We talked about the Wii U one a bunch, I think, and it's the same thing.
It's the same game with all of it involved, and it's on the Switch, which is a better console.
Yeah, I mean, but I felt bad at the end, but like there really is you can't comment on like the writing or you know, it just is this might be controversial. Okay. I reckon it may be as close to, well, you just said this, the perfect game.
Yeah.
In terms of doing 100% of what it sets out to do.
Exactly.
And that's something you can continually come back to time and time again. The presentation is flawless.
Mm. Yeah.
It
doesn't have any real flaws in it unless you aren't in for that sort of a thing.
Yeah, if you want a shooter, then it's flawed as hell.
I think Tetris is the perfect game.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was going to say,
like, what's wrong with Tetris?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm sure we discussed that before. Yeah. I think this is the perfect Mario Kart game, except the online features could be improved.
And the single player stuff and the DS one was better.
Oh, yeah. Well, I never played that, I guess.
Well, we talked about that last week that there was like a little missions mode.
Challenges
mode.
Which was really cool.
Like in Crazy Taxi. Did you ever play Crazy Taxi?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That had those little crazy box ones.
Yeah, speaking that's
speaking
right.
Of crazy boxes.
But that was...
Were we?
I think this... this has... But now that this has come out with all the DLC included, which has the 200cc mode and four extra cups than you usually get in a Mario Kart game.
Yeah.
Like even just going through and trying to get gold and 3-star it on every cup, that's going to keep you busy for a long, long time.
Well, I've got halfway through doing that
right now for this conversation.
I'm halfway through doing that on the 150cc thing.
Yeah,
and I've only been playing it for like 2.5 weeks.
Well,
but
we were just
I'm
saying
loving it.
50 like and 100. I was wondering if this was maybe just me because I played it heaps on the Wii U.
Yeah,
50 and 100, very easy to just burn through and get
a
gold cup, 3 stars on all of them.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you get into 150. I think I did my first cup really easily, and I was like, fuck, I'm unbeatable at this game. There's no challenge now. And then in the next cup I had to settle for a silver at the end, and I was like, this is a harsh awakening. So, I'm just now up to the bit where it's kind of gotten challenging again, because it was a bit of a chore to just, like, make my way through all these cups.
Yeah.
For
That's
the sake
always
of
been the way with
completing.
Those games.
Totally. You'd sort of think, even if you're playing it for the first time, like, oh, this will be challenging even on 50cc. Nah.
Yeah. But I love it. I've not been stopping playing it. It's made me do the thing that I was not doing, which is use the Switch in a handheld mode while on my lunch break and stuff.
Yeah.
It's
I said this last week, but it's continuing. The best, currently my favorite and least favorite feature of the Switch is being able to play it in bed, because it's great, especially it's winter in Melbourne at the moment.
God,
it's nice to just sit in bed, but it then also means all of a sudden I look at the clock and go, fuck me, it's 3:30. Like I've just been sitting in bed playing Grand Prix all night.
Yeah.
But so good. And
that's like me with WWE.com.
Oh, yeah, you have been watching a lot of...
I actually have been watching a lot of
Have you
of
really?
Wrestling.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been going down this fucking weird wrestling rabbit hole.
I've never been able to get into
Neither
it.
Neither had I.
All. Okay.
I never thought that I would be either, but it's fucking hilarious.
Right.
It turns out it's really funny.
It honestly does. It's always seemed like the kind of thing where if I commit to watching it a bit, I'll get into all of the funny little intricacies of it and the theater and the comedy and stuff.
The thing that made me get into it is this really well-made thing by this guy, Max Landis, who did like American Ultra and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
is he the guy that everyone kind of doesn't like?
I think they don't like him, and I can see exactly why you wouldn't just from this video. But this video is great, and it's called Wrestling Isn't Wrestling, and it's like a 25-minute long thing.
Like a video essay thing.
Kind of, but it's more like a summary of the story of Triple H over the last 20 years, and it kind of goes through that and tells you what wrestling is through that context.
Oh, that's cool.
It's fucking really well made. Macaulay Culkin's in it briefly and shit.
Your favorite actor.
My favorite actor. And it's worth watching, and that made me go like, oh, this sounds cool. And then I watched some it was watching Triple H's intro for real, where he has this dumb Motorhead song then he spits in the air.
The thing that you did at our live show.
Yeah, yeah. And then had too many Doritos in my mouth when I did it.
And really upset, I guess, Luke McGregor.
Really gross. Yes.
I'm always interested when you hear about someone getting very into a thing that people are very passionate about, but they get into it like sort of beyond their mid-20s.
Mm.
That always seems weird to me. Coming, you know, you don't hear about too many people going, you know what, I'd always been sort of on the fence, never really cared for Star Wars beyond having seen it when I was a kid. But then when I was 31, I watched them all again, and now I've got an R2-D2 tattoo. I'm flying over to the States to fucking camp out at the premiere of the next one.
A lot of people do that with anal, that it takes until their 30s until they're really open to it.
Okay, anal's the exception.
And wrestling is kind of like the anal of entertainment, where it's a little basic, a little dirty. It's like not particularly sophisticated. You feel a little guilty, really, but there's something really entertaining and primal about it.
I wasn't into it until I watched this like doco about anal over the ages. Yeah, Macaulay Culkin was in it, and I was like, man, this looks cool.
2 weeks after Overwatch came out, though, because you were busy for that whole time.
The other thing that you get into in your 30s is the sinking depression that slowly takes over your entire life.
Again, wrestling is... And like, I wouldn't say that I'm into it now, I just know more about it, and I don't have the time to watch, because there's so fucking much of it.
Yes, that's always been my thing. It seems very... It's one of those things that, even at a point where I've gone, maybe I could. It's just like...
Nah, it's too much.
There's too much to dive in on.
Yeah.
It's like how you flippantly said, maybe I'll try and figure out what anime is about.
Mm.
Nah, there's no point. It's too much. Yes. I'll try and meet everybody in India. It's just never going
to
happen.
So this year I've really made a point of trying to get into comics. Like I've read a few, like all the big ones, like The Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen and stuff.
Big like broadsheet?
Huge, they just, you unfold them on the ground and roll around on them. But I've had to make a point of reading like something online, like a comic online every night. Just actually going in and making a point of it.
Well, I guess superhero stuff is relatively easy in a way because they're constantly kind of starting from the start and kind of like rebooting those kinds of things. So there's, I feel like every 3 or 4 years they try and make a big push. Like DC did like the new 52.
Yep, and now DC Rebirth.
Yeah, where
they
kind of like are consciously trying to pick up new
it's
listeners.
It's the same thing as why like I've never really been able to get into football, because whenever you try, there's these people who have 20 years of experience with it, and so they're so far, and it just makes you overwhelmed by it. Speaking of football.
Well, no, quickly.
Perfect.
Speaking of Mario Kart, we got to mention this. We're doing a live show in a couple of weeks. We need to talk about this, Adam.
I guess.
We are doing a live, we love Mario Kart 8 Deluxe so much that we're doing a live Mario Kart tournament live episode. So it's on May the 27th at 4 p.m. at the Brewcolt Bar, which is on Sydney Road in Brunswick.
Yep.
It's upstairs there. They've got a big projector for us. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be bringing in our own Switch and playing up on the big screen. If you have your own Switch, you're welcome to bring it.
Yep.
But basically what we're going to do is we're going to do a live episode with a guest or two.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think the plan is to do some form of like celebrity race with some previous guests on the show.
A bit of an exhibition match, maybe. Yeah.
And then we're going to do like a tournament between you, the listeners, and us in the mix as well.
Yeah.
If you want to compete in that, there's a Google Doc where we're asking you to sign up.
Yep.
So you can come to the event and not have to compete.
Totally.
It's still going to be a fun day. We're going to be commentating the races, and I dare say, not holding back if anyone's partaking who's a little bit shit.
Yes.
They got some I think they got like NBA Jam or Daytona and stuff.
They've got some Daytona, some actual arcade, like,
they got
racing
arcade
cabinets
games downstairs.
They also have like a Super Nintendo hooked up, a PS3.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of video game stuff at this bar. Yeah, it's
awesome. So we'll do that. All that stuff will be like the live episode, and then us doing the actual like tournament on the big screen will take probably like a couple of hours. And then bring your Switches down. We'll have ours there, and stick around, play games there. The food there's really good. They have good beers. So yeah, it's starting at 4 PM, but it's going to be like a bit of a kick on into the evening thing.
And if you do want to compete, A, you have to be in Melbourne, obviously. We're not doing an online thing.
Yes.
And B, please do sign up on that Google document, because we need an idea of numbers of people to decide on the structure of the tournament.
Yes.
There's a few different options of like maybe a little bit of a winner's bracket, loser's bracket, maybe a round robin.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So we really need to know how many.
Turnover.
Yeah.
Maybe a Montreal screw job.
Oh, fuck.
That's a wrestling thing, if anyone didn't believe me about the wrestling thing. So, I can't afford to be into wrestling. I'm going to stop.
So we really need to know. Yeah, we really need a good idea of numbers. So we're not just assuming that everyone who's coming is competing. So,
We're also not assuming that everyone who's coming isn't competing. So definitely it's not just going to be guests and us competing. So put your
There'll be some kind of prize. We'll have stuff to give out
totally.
On the day
and
as
if
well.
One of us wins, we're not going to take the prizes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe we should be there. There's a category of like best one of us. And then best listener.
But
anyway, we'll work it out. So it's going to be tinyurl.com/filthycasualsmk.
Mm.
Tickets are just $10. And on that page is the link to the document where you can sign up and let us know if you can.
Yeah, everything's on the Facebook post as well. So just go and have a look at that.
Sorry that we're doing this on pretty short notice. But we wanted to get this done. And this was kind of the only weekend that we could fit it in.
Yeah, also there are limited tickets.
It's not very big up there.
It's not a big room compared to the last one. So if you really want to come, I'd say book now. It's
you
only $10.
Luckily,
so,
there are limited listeners. So,
and then after all that, we'll put on the Super Mario Brothers movie again. So that's going to be really fun to meet a bunch of you guys. It was really fun to meet all you at the one that we did during the comedy festival. So say your comment before again.
Speaking of football.
Oh, yeah. It's been a big week in football, guys. And
I've got a better one now. Hold on. When you interrupted my segue there, it was like a real kick to the balls. Speaking of a foot to the balls, football, what are you... I shouldn't have taken the... Go on.
Wait, what are you talking about? No, I've been playing AFL Evolution. We talked it up a couple of weeks ago. And
yes.
Boys, it's here. And it's bad.
So this is the first, it's on, what is it, PS4, Xbox, PC?
I don't know about PC.
Right. I think it's just PS4 and Xbox.
So this is the first AFL game in quite a while, yeah?
So apparently, no, there was one, I think in 2013. Oh, I guess that is a while ago. Mm-hmm. But apparently there was, in like the early 2000s, there was AFL Live.
A few for a little run there.
Yeah,
from
Red Ant,
the late
Big Ant.
90s till the early 2000s.
Yeah,
pretty much yearly.
The one that I remember playing was, I think it was a Australian company called Big Ant developed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't FIFA, but it was still a reasonable game.
Yeah.
Then the company Wicked Witch, I believe they're called, made AFL Live 2, which was a big flop.
Okay.
And they have made AFL Evolution.
Right. Now, the AFL themselves, how this first came to my attention was, the AFL have been sort of sharing these, you know, videos of the trailers of this on their page.
Totally.
Now, the AFL seems to be very, very proud of how realistic this game looks. Like,
fucking hell.
It's clearly someone in the office there who's never actually seen any glimpse of any video game before ever.
Yeah.
And so looked at it and it looks all Polar Express and they've gone, fuck me, they blink and their heads move.
Fuck,
it's just like real life.
Yeah. Or like you get inside of the head of this person and they have seen the world as this like low polygonal hellscape the whole time.
Yeah, they just need glasses.
They've got just the blurriest, but
They've got 20% vision. So to them it's like, oh my God, they're trying to touch they're trying to shake hands with the person in the screen.
When we showed it to him, he broke four TVs trying to climb through the window.
Oh, the ball's coming right at me.
He ran away from a steam train. There's no train in the game. I don't know why he thought there was one coming.
So they seem to think that it's very impressive what's going on here.
Yeah.
And so and I believe that
it's the best that an AFL game has ever looked.
Yeah,
well,
which is saying absolutely nothing in the context of video games.
So the centre of the Venn diagram of people who are into AFL and also into video games has been very excited about this.
Yeah.
And in the eye of the storm of that central of the Venn diagram. We have Ben Venn Diagram Vanell.
Yes. Yeah. My PlayStation username is Ben Diagram.
Oh,
that's
wow.
true.
Yeah. And my last name.
Thanks for the clarification.
He's not lying.
Skeptics out there.
I ain't lying, boys. And I'm going to tell you the harsh truths about this game. Mm-hmm. It's really fucking bad. Like, it's not even close to acceptable. It's not even like, oh, you know, they're a smaller company and they didn't have as much time and money. It's not even that. Like, it's just, fuck, this is a bad game. It looks embarrassingly bad.
So
it's fun to play.
It's going for kind of like FIFA level of like, very accurate to the rules of the game.
Yep.
How do you play through it? Like, give us a brief overview of, like, how it controls.
Okay, so it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of FIFA-ish in that, like, you have the, well, you have the ball up in the middle mm-hmm. and you do, it's like an NBA game where you do the tip off and you try to control which direction it goes.
Yep.
And then you basically just hammer on the handball button until by pure chance your team might get possession. And then if you get possession, it's a, you do a kick pass and then it's a very precise hold down triangle release when it tells you to and you might mark it.
Like a golf thing? Like a meter charging up type?
Kind of. So when the ball's in the air, there's a ring around your player that you're playing as.
Yeah.
And it slowly contracts and then like...
When it gets to...
Like the...
Like an anus.
Yes, when the sphincter contracts...
You'll find out about that in your 30s.
But when it kind of like hits a sweet spot, you're supposed to release the button, you'll probably mark it.
Oh, hell yeah.
But it's...
Love it when it hits that sweet spot.
In no way was this pointed out to me. I had to Google this.
Okay, right.
So there's no tutorial. There's literally no tutorial.
Okay. That's a big error in something that sounds very intricate in its controls.
The only way to mark it is to know exactly that technique and then get it right every time, and it's not easy.
Right.
And if you fail and the opposition team gets possession once, then they basically just go kick to kick to kick until they kick a goal. Like it's really difficult to play.
I'm sure that this game is broken and bad, but it could sound like you're just no good at it.
Well, no, because I got good at it. Like, I Googled all the controls and all that kind of stuff. And then once you get good at it, all you're doing is kick to kick to your players and kicking a goal.
Because you said to me, all I'd heard was you kind of briefly live commentating it in our group chat as you were playing it, where you said, it's really terrible, but I can't stop playing it.
Yeah.
Which sounds very you.
Well, it's very Knox.
It's like, a better review of you than it is of the game.
That's fair. But it is like, there is something to playing as the like Collingwood Magpies, who I support, and beating Carlton in a game that resembles kind of a sports video game. There's something to that.
So presentation-wise...
Is that stuff good in terms of like it's got all the current... like it's got a full roster of people and shit?
The thing that's almost on par is the character, like the player design and the rosters and the interface. It looks like you're watching a game on you know, TV.
Yeah.
Like all of that, the stats.
Okay, that's cool.
The positioning and all that kind of stuff looks like you're watching a game. It's all very... And the interface is good.
It has a bunch of, like, legacy players or whatever they call them in this. Like,
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought it had, like, Billy Brownless and shit.
Oh, maybe I haven't seen that yet, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it had, like, older, like, James Hurdy type.
Maybe. I guess I haven't seen that at all. And I've tried a bunch of different things. There's a career mode, but that's not great. There's, like, a season mode. But
do you think if you're someone who... It's kind of hard to think who is this for, because like if you're someone who like loves AFL and you're... Oh, I was going to say, but you're perhaps not as like, you know, into video games. But
that
then
probably
if that's the case, why do you own a PS4?
And you're going to hate this more if it's a rough, difficult to play video game.
Yeah.
Even if like, because I know AFL players themselves play video games. You occasionally see like one of those little stories during the match where it's like, oh, Jimmy lives with Fred and they play.
Yeah.
But those guys play like NBA 2K17.
There's plenty of people into sport and video games. That's heaps of people.
Totally. But like, I'm saying like even AFL players who play games would just play FIFA or NBA. Like this is not a good enough
game.
Well,
that's the thing. And that's the reason those games are so popular, is because they're the best playing ones. Like FIFA's big in America. And people don't give a shit about soccer there, you know?
Totally.
It's just because it's a good...
This seems like they're just hoping for it to be picked up by aunties of, like, 10-year-olds who...
I reckon
you know, when you're
it.
A kid, you don't really know what's good and bad. Like, I remember definitely playing things where I just...
Boy. When I ran that man down in the street, taking my parents' Buick for a drive.
I didn't have a Buick. Would be given as a gift and convince myself... oh, this is really, really tricky to play, but it must just be me. I'm not good at it. And then I would persist with it and sort of convince myself that it was good and then look back on it years later and go, no, that was just terrible. But there's no internet. There's no reviews. There's no like, you don't know like, you know, what a consensus is.
I reckon if I was a 12-year-old kid who loved footy and video games, which I was, you know, when I was 12, and I got this game, I probably would like it a lot.
I was 13.
Yeah, well,
I was like 10, I guess.
Yeah, I reckon if I was a young teenager, I'd love this game because I would like to play footy.
The realism and stuff. Yeah.
But objectively, or not objectively, just from my perspective now, it's not good enough.
Well, and you said it's really unfortunate. Like it's buggy and shit as well, right? Like,
yes, a lot of like. Walking when the intro animation, when they walk into the stand, like out of the stand into the ground, everything's see-through. It's all clipping. There's a lot of glitches. Oh,
wow. Can you play as the Bannerman?
Fuck no, and it's the only good thing about the game.
We should mention a friend of ours, Danny McGinley, writes the banners for the Western Bulldogs.
And he's
has a regular spot on the AFL Game Day show.
Channel 7, yes.
Which he'd covered this, and he got another friend of ours, Michael Williams, who does, like in his comedy festival show, has animations that he does on PowerPoint that are very lo-fi.
Yes.
He got him to animate a joke version of this game.
Yeah,
so go look that up. That's a really funny segment.
Yeah, it's great. And the graphics are one-to-one. It's the same as PowerPoint.
Yeah.
But now, also the commentary is the worst thing.
Now this, you mentioned this in the chat and this is awesome.
So I played through, so it's really bad just off the bat. It's fucking terrible.
Like
none of it lines
of stuff,
up. Like, so even just on a basic, like, this game is Carlton playing against the Collingwood Magpies.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
So it's that.
Like you're on hold calling up fucking Telstra.
It's bad in that way. It's also bad in that all of the commentary, or none of the commentary matches the action. It's often so wrong, it's the opposite of what's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been reading a few comments online of people being like, I was playing as like Carlton versus Collingwood and I was up 70 points and Collingwood kicked a goal and the commentary said, the momentum is shifting. Like that kind of stuff. But the one that I put in our group chat was that I played a game, I finished the game, I was looking at the screen at the end that shows you the final scores and the commentary said, the Ruckman are gearing up for the first bounce of the game. Like it is.
Maybe it's just a couple of commentators having a bit of fun. They're just mucking around up there in the booth.
It sucks because like the individual comments that are said are not terrible. It's the programming that's fucked up.
Yeah.
They've just not aligned it with the action.
I just find this bizarre. Like you're saying there's other comments, you know, of people who are playing this.
Yeah.
Who bought this expecting it to be good?
I don't think anyone bought it expecting to be good. I think people bought it expecting it to be passable and now everyone's
realistic
like, fuck, I paid $100 for this.
Well,
I want my money back.
Okay, that was going to be my next question and it's a hard one for you to answer. How much money did you spend on this game?
I dropped a hundo, a flat hundo on this game.
This literally was $100.
It was literally $100.
How?
That's what they all cost on the online store.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are you buying things on the online store for $100?
I'm a busy guy.
Lazy, late.
No, I work 9 to 5. When am I going to go and get it?
You don't drive past a JB on the way home?
Yeah, it's a shame that all shops close at 4 in this country.
I've got other things to do, like record podcasts and edit podcasts.
You are an idiot. You're an idiot.
No,
you're a sucker. No, this is what's happened is everyone who's bought it is like they announced they're doing AFL Evolution and like a bunch of people went, ah, fuck, now I have to buy it. Now I've got to do it. And that's what they're relying on and that's why this got made.
Yeah.
And like the thing is, everyone who made this knows it sucks. Everyone who would have been involved in the production of this expected it to suck.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have given it enough time or enough money to get it in any other state. Definitely.
Yeah, it's like when you're working on a movie and you're like the gaffer and they're like, sorry, we don't have enough money to pay you for the next 6 hours when it would have taken you to like do the job properly.
Yeah.
It's people, it's animators, it's programmers going like, they're only paying me like to work 30 hours this week and this is going to take 36 hours.
And they would have done it deliberately because on a spreadsheet, and I bet it's paid off, that this game probably will make money.
Oh, fuck, mate, I guess.
I'd be interested to see. I don't know.
If it hasn't cost much, then the return doesn't have to, you know, it's not like it has to sell a million copies.
It's unfortunate. Like you'd think the AFL, who sold off their TV rights for $1 billion, could have chipped in some money to make this a better game.
Yeah, yeah.
Surely. It's a licensed game. It has their code.
I don't think they've ever given a huge amount of a shit about all the other sort of extra external products surrounding things, though. Those fucking bullshit DVDs they put out of, like, funnest summer catches.
Oh, even their apps are terrible.
Yeah, right.
And that should be the...
digital shit is,
digital stuff sucks.
I reckon that this is going to be big time bargain bin fodder.
Yeah.
Coming up. Yeah. I'd like to call on the listeners to, anytime you see this in a used section, snap us a picture and let's try and compile a gallery of all of the all of the unloved AFL Evolution copies that are just roaming around in the wild. Let's see how many we can get.
Probably enough to fill a football field.
Very good. I reckon like day two of it being out at EB Games, it was like one new copy on the shelf and then a full shelf of pre-owned AFL Evolution.
All right, guys. So. Yeah, go on the hunt in the bargain bins and snap us some photos.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So this is interesting that
don't do that. I don't care to see any photos of bargain bins.
I'm overruling you, and I do.
Also, just send us some selfies.
Yeah. Let's talk about this because we were saying this when we were first talking about AFL Evolution a few weeks ago.
Before we move on, I just want to underline: do not waste your money on this. Not even if you're slightly interested. It's a waste of money.
Even if you can get it for the sweet discounted bargain price of $95, don't bother.
Wait till it's $69 and then get back to me.
Well, we were talking, you know, when we were first kind of speculating about, you know, how bad this would be. I was about to say good or bad, but, you know, how bad this would be.
Yeah.
That, you know, given that the limited budget and everything, it's crazy that there's never been an attempt at like an arcade style AFL game, like more in line with like an NBA Jam, like strip it right back. You can't go for realism. You're not going to be able to hit that same level of FIFA. So just go in the other direction and use your smaller budget as an asset.
Yeah.
And so this week, well, actually just yesterday, a new game came out called NBA Playgrounds, which is by a group called Saber Interactive or Digital?
Mm.
Saber. And it is kind of it's basically a bit of a... riff on NBA Jam, or kind of a...
You might even say a riff off.
Yeah, sure. If I was... Yeah, I'm abandoning that. So that's come out yesterday. I've played it for a little bit and, I'm not someone who... I don't follow basketball. So basically it's 2-on-2, very much arcade style, like just one button that you hit to steal the ball.
It's not 3D or even isometric. It's pretty much 2D.
Yeah, it's pretty much, and it takes away a lot of the rules and the intricacies of the game just aren't there.
Yep.
In favor of fast paced, just fun gameplay. You know, NBA Jam style, like ridiculous dunks and getting huge air and stuff.
Yeah, like going into slow mo and stuff.
Yeah, and when you start the game up, you get... The presentation is you have five packs of cards, of like trading cards that you open, and they kind of randomly have different players in them. And then as you move on, when you gain XP every time you play a match, and when you get to a new level, you get a new pack of cards that has new players in it. So you're making your way through the game, gradually unlocking this roster of players. This does have old and new players in it. Like there's a mix of legacy players and stuff.
Michael Jordan.
I do not know if he's in it.
He's the one I know.
he is not in a lot of basketball games.
Isn't he a bit of a cunt about everything?
I think
he's a bit of a cunt full stop.
There was one NBA Live game that was like, it had Michael Jordan in the title and he was like in it, but none of the rest of them he's in,
which is
like a real shame. He's the best. He's the fucking best.
So that element of it is kind of goes over my head a little bit, like the whole thing of like unlocking...
Well, you're very short and they're all tall basketball players.
Hello.
Very good.
Charles Barkley.
You could call
that another one.
A swish.
Back of the net. Alley-oop.
Cunts, please. So that element of like, I imagine if you're someone who's grown up watching basketball and has a real love of it, like that's probably pretty exciting, like racking up these new characters.
I mean, I'm a casual fan of basketball and I think that's really cool.
Right. I mean, for me, there's a completionist side of me that's like, well, I want to unlock all of these so I can go on and play. Yeah. And I'm sure they're like... going and playing as a bunch of different ones of them, like, is going to unlock, you know, different skills, and some of them better than others and whatever else.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I've played it for a little bit today. I I brought my Switch around here, and you and I had a game of it, Ben, before we started recording.
Thrashed you.
Yeah, you did. You absolutely pantsed me. Yeah. But it's really fun. I really, really like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I think it's cool.
I think it's on pretty much everything. I think. Again, it's a cool thing for a Switch in terms of like wireless competitive play.
Yep.
I played it for a little bit in tabletop mode just to kind of see what that was like. Which, by the way, I think it's funny that that was like a big thing in the Switch reveal trailer was people playing NBA 2K17.
Yeah.
And then like this has just come out like before and kind of like I think this is much more suited to that mode of play because I even found just having it on my desk, it sort of exposes a bit of a flaw of like the Switch in tabletop mode of it was hard to tell what was going on.
Too small?
Just from that distance. Yeah. Not even too small, just I almost think developers for a game like this will start to need to put in like an optional tabletop graphics mode that scales down a lot of the background detail. Maybe gives the characters a bit of an outline or something, because once you're that far away and the screen is that small, it just looks a bit cluttered and it's already pretty fast paced even on a TV.
Yeah, that's a good point. That was the problem I had with Zelda, was that I couldn't really see stuff properly. Mario Kart, I'm actually it's fine in handheld mode, but
it's not even handheld mode, because handheld mode I find you're closer to it. I'm talking about if you've got it set up, you know, like what they want people to do.
Yeah,
if you've got it set up on a park bench or whatever, and you're both playing with that little bit more distance,
it really does
change things. And so I just wonder going forward if that is going to be a thing where developers do put in an optional thing that kind of changes the there's a lot of like great animation and background detail in all these courts on NBA playgrounds, and that's kind of what makes it most confusing. So even a thing where you could just strip it back and get rid of all that aesthetic stuff and just make it a bit clearer and easier to see, for example.
Yep.
I just do wonder if that is going to be a thing that starts to be a thing that developers have to kind of build in and consider. It's not the worst deal in the world, and I did get used to it, but it did make me think like, oh, this is actually this could be a problem going forward.
I do want to like lay up 3 points here. Number one, the fact that they make you jump through these hoops to get even like multiplayer going,
got a migraine,
or they don't make
on.
You jump through these hoops, you know what I mean? That's a net positive.
Oh, totally.
And
totally.
Like, you can be caught in any situation and play your Switch there, and you know, you can just
I don't know if I'm dying or coming.
You can, like, even if you're Larry Bird, you know, up at this. I can't do any more. But like,
give me some space. Jam on toast, anyone?
You have to make them at least slightly related.
Basketball.
Hoop dreams.
Now, what did you
have a genuine point you wanted to make there? Or,
okay. I thought of 3 puns, and I thought I'd come up with more as I went.
Now, Nox, this was a fun little game that Tommy and I played. Very colourful, pretty, you know, casual kind of game.
I watched you play it a little bit and didn't actually like the look of it.
I have a feeling that you're going to be a bit of a curmudgeon about it.
No, it's fine. Like, I just, it's not my, it just,
your bag,
it's
baby?
Not my sort of thing.
Hmm. You know what I like? You know what it is doing it for me? Is I've never been into, realistic sports games. I said I have no real affinity for basketball.
Yeah.
But I've talked in the past about a beloved game of mine, which was Space Jam on the PC.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, very much that NBA. Like, I played that more than I ever played NBA Jam. I still played NBA Jam a fair bit back in the day. But I just like it because it's reminding me of that. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah.
And also, this is the other thing, is like this. Like I said, I had that issue with the size and the clutter of the screen in tabletop mode.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, this is a more simplistic version of what's in the trailer for the Switch, which is everyone playing that 5-on-5, detailed, complicated.
Yeah,
this has the same look as a lot of the things that are on the Switch at the moment that aren't making me want to get one. Is that it does look like something that you might not have looked at twice if it had come out on a PS4. You know what I mean?
I still would have.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I mean, it just looks kind of like a
arcade style baseball game. So I reckon even if I had a PS4, I would have gone in on this.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's fun. It's fun to play, and I like sports games. I think that the thing with sports games is, I don't necessarily like, I don't love the art style. I think it's fine, and like with FIFA, it's like you know, it's a good game or whatever. I like winning in them.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I like about yeah, sports totally. Games. I totally. Like winning. I have fun when I'm, like, with arms.
Weird how your life's turned out for someone who likes winning so much.
Perfectly. But, like, with arms, like, yeah, it's, it looks cool and all that kind of stuff. But I enjoyed it because I was, like, beating people and, yeah. you know, I don't know. Like, that's what sports games are. If it's no, fun right. to win,
that's the thing with yeah. a lot of multiplayer games too, which is why I tend to like stuff like Overcooked or whatever,
yeah.
where it's not so much like you it can't hide a bad game behind the, like, what you get out of being competitive.
Yes, sure, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. those sort of – and I find with a lot of multiplayer games, like even Smash Brothers and stuff like that, I don't think that any of the Smash Brothers games are particularly good. They're a bit okay. messy. They're a bit, like, just sort of bleh. And I think that that thing, that, like, joy of competing is what gets people through a lot of multiplayer shit.
I think, yeah. yeah. And Smash Brothers especially, it's, like, it's so simple. It's a simple, like, it's a really simple game. Yeah.
Oh,
but it's,
Smash
like,
Brothers,
it looks nice.
And yeah, then there's all Smash that Brothers extra layer of shit. For
the nostalgia. Yeah. But yeah, also, yeah, like, four players sitting around drinking beers and, like, smashing each other up. That is the joy of that game.
With Smash Brothers, me particularly, it's more like I'll play them heaps and never get really any better or develop any yeah. kind of skill and strategy.
Yeah, right.
It's just all the presentation. Yeah. And yeah, it's having that affinity for those characters where if it was anything else with that skin on it, yeah, like I just would yeah. go, and oh, who cares? Like, I don't care about this at all.
That's the really yeah. cool thing about Mario Kart as well, just going back to that really quickly, is yeah. that, like, it is a really tightly made, well-made game as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of those Mario Karts have in the part, like 64 especially, I think, is like, it's just fun to beat your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, NBA Playgrounds, I would say, it's like $20 on the various e-stores.
Yeah.
The Switch doesn't have online yet, which yeah. me personally, I don't really care about because I kind of want to go through the, you yeah. know, the tournaments and kind of unlock more stuff. And I think definitely, you know, there's a little things here and there that I think will be patched as time goes on that'll make it better and better. But as a foundation, like if you like those old style arcade basketball games, I would definitely say it's worth the $20. Like for a, especially on the Switch, having it as a handheld, like it really is a good thing that lends itself to, you know, a quick round on the bus or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, I'd recommend it. I'm really enjoying it.
Great. Yeah. There's a quick sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. So, like, you've been playing a lot of the indie games on the Switch.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about them a bit online with some of our video game pals.
Uh-huh.
And some of the video game pals who have a Switch are a bit disappointed in these indie games.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been copying it a bit. Like, we got a lot of Switch fans
yeah.
Who are our friends. But I think it's a reasonable criticism at this point is the fact that a lot of these indie games are coming out on PC and
yep.
they're coming out for, like, 75% cheaper.
Right. Okay.
Like, the Nintendo prices are pretty fucking high.
Yeah, right.
And that, I think it's that's a fair criticism
yeah,
at
agree.
This point.
Like, I totally agree.
When most of the games on there are indies and most of them are like $20 to $30 more than on PC.
Well, I think it's even weird. I mean, Nintendo have never done sales on their e-stores. Like, they never drop the prices, which I think is crazy.
They do a tiny little bit from time to time.
Yeah, but every now and then they'll go like, oh, yeah. Zelda's out next week. There's a new Zelda out next week. Hey, you can get this old one yeah. for $5 off.
Yeah. yeah.
But, you know, you look like someone was telling me, oh, I was going to buy, like, they've just bought a PlayStation 4 and they're like, oh, I'm going to buy this and this and this and this from this store. And I was like, man, honestly, those have all been out for so long. Wait, and like The Witcher, for example, is yeah. constantly popping up on yeah. the PlayStation Store for like $25,
$30. Totally.
Like, Nintendo have never done that well. And yeah, you're totally right. I also think it's weird that if you buy Mario Kart on the eShop, I think it's like $90.
Yeah.
That's the most expensive you're going to find it. Like, it's going to be more expensive. It's going to be cheaper in any store that you go to. And I think it's weird that, I don't know, that digital versions don't cost less because you're not paying for, you know, it to be yeah. manufactured into a cartridge. You're not paying,
yeah.
like,
I
none
mean,
of those expenses
what people
are there.
Pay. Like, it's weird to me that they don't lower the prices because stuff like Steam, where they have consistently low prices and huge
yeah.
sales and stuff,
yep.
that clearly works and, like, people are into it.
Yeah.
And it's bizarre that it's not a model that more people follow, but I guess it must be working for them because the Switch is selling like bloody hotcakes. And this
yeah.
is a dead horse that I'm beating here, but it's
fucking insane that they don't have their virtual console on there.
Yeah, that they
don't have more games. Anyway,
but you, like, for me, who is someone who's like is annoyed at those prices and wishes there were more games, I'm holding out pretty well. Like,
yeah,
I still have a lot of Zelda to play, and I am loving Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
So this is more of like a intellectual criticism rather than an actual complaint.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's I mean, just weird, from like, this is more like if I was a shareholder, I'd be going, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Totally. But at the same time, you've sold millions of them.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I guess I've got no complaints.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's that thing, if you drop the price by half, more people might buy them, but then you've got to sell double the amount to make. Yeah. So it probably all comes out in the wash for them.
Yeah.
But also I've found that, like, I've been actively buying a lot of the indies on there because I really like the console, so I like having stuff to play for it.
Yep.
Also for the purposes of talking about it on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's not, like, there's a game called Kamiko which is like $6,
yeah,
which is really good. Like, for $6 is, if you've got a Switch, like, definitely pick it up. It's very charming style. It's not doing anything revolutionary. It's not super long.
Yep. What is
it's
it?
It's not super complex. So it's a top-down kind of – it's a top-down thing. It's not that I've played this game, but I've read a lot of stuff sort of saying it's kind of like a sort of a budget Hyperlight Drifter,
okay,
if you're familiar with the style of that game. So it's top-down hack and slash, and you
kind of like the original Zelda.
Kind of, yeah. So you basically – little puzzles to solve in each area, like having to get a thing and use it to unlock this door and gradually make your way through an area. Mm. Sort of swarms of enemies coming at you that kind of replenish every time you go off screen.
Yep.
And it's, and you know, for the Switch and for it being a handheld, like, it's the perfect thing. And
yeah,
I mean, yeah, for $6, like, you can't really fault it too much for $6. Like, definitely one I would recommend. If you've got a Switch. I also have been playing Tumbleseed a bit.
Yes.
This week.
Which we were watching you play that just before.
Yeah. It says a lot about how far the aesthetic can go in selling a game, because it looks great. The sound design is incredible. Like, the music is kind of really eerie and creepy. You basically control a vine that you're using to push a seed up a screen.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those old puzzle boxes with a marble in it.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
You turn the little knobs on it to make it not fall through the holes.
Yep. Yeah, so the left and right sticks control both sides of the vine, and through a combination of tilting or just going flat and going straight up using both sticks at once. And then there's holes and enemies that are sort of randomly generated each time you go around. I keep playing it a lot, even though it's so hard.
It looks really frustrating.
It is so fucking hard. Yeah. And, like, I don't know, not to sound like a little wuss, but, man, I hope they patch it and put in like an easy mode or an option where you can have a few more. Because you get three lives and it's so fucking hard. And the fact that
this isn't just Tommy being shit either. Like, I've read a bunch of reviews, and, like, I think the Polygon one, they had a video and that, like, It looked hard.
All of those physics games I find really tough, all of them.
Yeah. But it's great. Like, it is still very captivating in its presentation. And like I said, if the aesthetic was, you know, off in any way, I just wouldn't keep coming back to it, because it's maddeningly hard.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's all randomly generated, there's no way of you, like, working out a path and then coming back and going, okay, I've died on this 8 times, but now I fucking get it. You are back to square one every time you start. Mm. And that's, I like it.
Yeah.
It would be good to, like, I watched a trailer for it. It's like, oh, wow, there's all these other areas in it that I'll never see because I'm so shit at it.
Fuck.
I just would love it if they put in, like, a little baby mode for, you know, for whatever, because I want to see the rest of it, but I just don't think I'm ever going to.
Yeah,
like,
fuck.
I'm dead within about a minute of playing it every time.
Oof.
Like, you guys watched me play it before and I died pretty quickly. That's, like, the longest I've ever lasted in it.
Oh. Now, before we move on to perhaps some news...
Well, I've also prayed a game this week.
Well, before we move on to that...
Super Mario Brothers.
we have a sponsor this week. That sponsor is Mack Weldon.
Ah, yes.
Who is he?
He's a dude who makes great clothes, from what I know. apparently, Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now.
Bullshit, I'm wearing 10 suits of armor.
But how comfortable is that armor?
I feel secure. I feel comfortable in the fact that I won't have an arrow go through me.
Well, baby, This is better than armor. This is armor for your day-to-day life.
Oh.
Because it makes you feel safe and comfortable in any situation.
What about a war?
If you're like a runner, you know, like one of the runners in a war, you know, delivering.
Oh, yeah,
the,
yeah.
It's good. It's comfortable. It's lightweight.
I'm never going to be that.
I've heard James and Meso do ads for this on their show.
Yeah.
Apparently, James had a difficulty pronouncing this word. Continues to have a difficulty pronouncing this word.
Can you just spell the word and we'll all try and say it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Shirt.
So all of their products.
Sorry.
Are naturally A N T I M I C R O B I A L.
Antipasta. Antimicrobial.
That's it.
Yeah.
You nailed it first go.
Great.
Yeah, Tommy, that's unable to figure out what the
yeah, I lost. Spelled. I stopped paying attention.
This was just a game for
so
me.
So does
and
that
Knox.
Mean? What does antimicrobial mean?
Oh, it means that they eliminate odor. There's some kind of they get away microbes, which yeah, I guess right. You know make smells. So yeah, all of their products are antimicrobial, that's which cool. I nailed first go.
Fuck. Okay. Antimicrobial. Antimicrobial.
Yeah.
No?
Anti-Tribeca.
I'm not looking at it, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Antimicrobial.
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 So think... No.
Say microbe.
Microbe.
Yeah. Antimicrobe.
Antimicrobe.
Say, yeah.
Eel.
Antimicrobial.
I said that. Antimicrobial.
Yeah, now you did.
Yeah, yeah.
I said that several times before.
You said
if
angry
only this
microbial.
Was being recorded and yes. You could listen back
go,
to it.
Go back, dear listeners.
Angry microbe.
So Mac Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. You just go online, buy a bloody product. That's pretty damn simple. Yeah, the antimicrobial, which again, I've said perfectly.
I like the look of these clothes too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I've had a look through their website and I'll tell you this. This is a ringing endorsement.
Yep.
Pretty much every one of the items that they sell on this website is cheaper than a digital copy of AFL Evolution. Now that is an ad. That's something you can hang your hat on.
Now, I thought you were going to say...
Antimicrobial instead of anti-fun.
All their products look good. Now, I would have said that. I kind of want one of everything, except the V-neck shirts. I don't do V-neck. But
who cares what you like or don't like in fashion? No one asked you.
That's
because of his prison tattoo that he has just on his top of his chest.
Yeah, it's just a dick.
I've thought about getting a big tattoo right on my chest,
by the way.
I don't know yet. I just think that would be funny for someone like me is not the sort of person you think would have that done.
It'd be funny.
And I like the humor value of me and summer taking my shirt off at a pool and I've got like a fucking giant hawk like right on my chest. Don't you think that'd be funny?
A skull and crossbones.
Yeah.
Just the most basic one. The giant heart that has mother over it, but on your chest.
If you are reading this, I am dead. My 10 suits of armor have been useless.
Now, if one of these t-shirts or pairs of pants or hoodies from Mac Weldon is useless in your opinion, you get to refund it. Oh, you get to return it and you get a full refund.
That's cool.
Oh,
no
huge.
Questions asked. If you don't like it, you get a refund. So that's cool. Just your first one, I think it is. But
oh, so you can't take the piss and just be
no,
like...
No, you can't keep doing it.
Wearing something out for the night and then sending it back the next day and just doing that every day for a month.
I don't think so.
You just send them back at night and get them to deliver them again the next morning when you wake up.
That would be great. That would be great to do to a company. Like, yeah, taking advantage of their returns policy... But then just ordering the same thing again the next day.
Just on an 8-hourly basis.
Yeah, and see at what point do they get onto you and go, man, what are you doing?
I'd say the second one is the point.
The second time you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon they're two different departments and they
You reckon would, they're two different departments.
Yes. I reckon.
They would never communicate.
I reckon there's someone who processes the order and puts it in and then there's just someone else who's in charge of like, oh, okay, this guy emailed and this guy sent this back, we've got to send him his money.
No, I think it's one guy called Mac Weldon and he's got two screens.
And he's just fucking overworked.
Yeah.
Running around this warehouse.
Now let's wrap this ad up because it's been going for like 15 minutes.
It's kind of like a fashion report
this
too.
It's kind of
people
a mini fashion report.
Yeah. Oh yeah, should we do a fashion report within the ad?
We're not wearing anything interesting. Mac Weldon's right. We've got shit clothes on.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a lot of denim and navy blues.
Yeah.
We should have pitched Mac Weldon to sponsor the Filthy Casuals, I feel like if we'd pitched them to sponsor the Fashion Report, we probably would have gotten a little bit more.
Yeah,
I would argue that Fashion Report is more popular than Filthy Casuals.
Maybe we should return this sponsorship and get a new one in the mail.
Yeah, mate, we'll get in contact with them, see if they want a Mack Weldon branded Fashion Report.
Right.
But yeah, anyway, go to Mack Weldon, that's MackWeldon.com, and you get 20% off if you use the code Filthy Casuals, all one word.
20% off of the price, not of the clothes. You're not going to get three-quarter pants.
Yeah, you're not ordering a jumper and getting a t-shirt. Yeah,
you get four-fifths pants anyway. But
oh, yeah.
All right, I played Prey.
Could you say that again slowly?
I played Prey.
Okay. I played Eat. Did you play Love? Because, baby, we got a movie on our hands.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
You guys have come up with the most original joke I've heard about that game. It's very good.
I'm praying for this podcast to be over.
That's the second most original.
Thank you.
So there's been another game called Prey that came out in like 2006, around when the 360 launched. It was about like a Native American dude who gets abducted by aliens.
I was 19 in that year, I think.
I would have been, And so the 89 to 2006 is too hard for me to do. 16, right? 16, 17.
You know how much younger than me you are.
Not anymore. So it's... fucking seems really cool.
Okay.
I'm digging it a lot. You like BioShock?
Yes.
You need to play this game.
Okay, sweet.
It's real BioShocky. I don't want to give anything away about like the story or anything, because quite quickly it takes a change that you don't like it.
Yeah.
It gets going real quick.
Yeah, cool.
And I bet you snap your fingers there to emphasize that it's quick.
Oh, yeah.
The time it takes to snap your fingers.
I learned that in a jazz club. And so I
who'd you learn it from in the club?
Mr. Miles Davis.
Oh my God.
So he was snapping his fingers and playing trumpet.
Yeah, he was the doorman there, and he just happened to... He was terrible at jazz. But anyway...
sounds like a hell of a video game.
It's basically a shooter. It's an exploration-based thing. My first thing I want to say is turn off the objective markers.
Yep.
They're fucking really, really big and obnoxious and like kind of... The whole point of it is that you're meant to be walking around this place you don't really know.
Yeah.
And having this big thing saying, it's 20 meters that way.
Okay, yeah.
Takes
yeah.
completely away from it, because it's really well designed.
Sounds
and
like the
out.
Sort of thing I will definitely need to leave on if I play this game.
Dude, you should just watch someone else play through it. No, it's really cool. Like, it's.
Wow. The most patronizing thing you can say to someone, why don't you give me the controller and you can just watch me do it?
I found it really hard, actually, because the thing that I've been finding hard is that my instinct is to sneak around, but it's quite difficult. The design of the enemies makes it difficult to tell where they're looking.
Oh.
So it can sometimes be a little bit strange to sneak by them.
Yeah, okay. Right.
But it also, it like...
So it encourages you to just shoot them.
A little bit. And then the weapons are really unique as well.
Okay.
They're very, like Ratchet and Clank or something, where each of them have like, not just a here's your machine gun.
Yeah. Like a bit of a gimmick or something.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
the first one you get is a gel gun that's like, you know, used for, or like in the game, it's in the world, it's meant to be used for electrical fixing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you shoot it and it freezes things up, or you can make bridges with it because it'll freeze and then harden.
Right.
And so it's having this like really inventive multi-purpose thing. But the first thing you get is a wrench, and that you use to clobber people with. So
yes,
that's exactly the same as BioShock.
Yeah.
But it's like I'm really into the story so far. It looks great. It's
what
very
is
much.
Can you give anything away about the story?
I don't really want to.
Yeah.
It's
setting even? Like what?
The setting will give.
Okay.
You haven't played it, have you? You looked at the back of the box and saw three different guns and went, righto, I'm set.
Yeah.
It just very quickly turns. Broadly, you're on a space station.
Cool. Okay. All right. That's all I need. That's all I need.
And so.
Is it scary?
No. But you know,
being in space is scary to me.
It's got like a couple of sort of, and then this guy comes up to the window and oh no, and that sort of type of
scares the shit out of me. I hate them kind of things, those jump scares.
Yeah, it's but
that's
the exploration feels great. The whole place feels like an actual existence, sort of the way that like Alien Isolation did or like BioShock did.
Yeah,
it feels like somewhere that existed before you showed up.
Okay,
and it wasn't just built to have a game around.
Yeah,
you're kind of this interloper in this world, and I'm really into it. If you're into those
Bioshocky types of games, this is one of them, and it seems to be. I'm only a few hours in, but
yeah,
it seems to be a really well made one of them.
Sick.
And I'm looking forward to playing more of it when I go home. Like,
it's awesome.
The first thing that, well, no, Zelda, I really liked. It's the first one of these games that I've liked in quite a long while.
Yeah, but cool.
Cool. After, seems like we've all had a very great week of playing video games.
Hey, baby.
Except for Ben.
No, because I played a lot of Mario Kart as
okay,
well.
Okay, great.
I mostly played Mario Kart.
What else do we need to get into?
Let's cover some news in Mr. News's News Corner.
Yeah. Mr. News is dead.
Oh,
the only person
news.
Here is, yeah, it took ages for people to find out as well. There was nobody to tell him. This is just, this is his son.
In a way, no news is bad news.
Mr. News Jr.
Mr. News Jr., this is his son.
Yeah.
Carrying on the news dynasty.
Jason News.
Jason News, okay. Oh, yeah.
No, Huey Lewis. Why the fuck would his name be Jason? His name's Huey Lewis.
You know Jason Mewes?
Yeah.
Is that guy from Silent Bob and Jay?
Yeah.
He's Jay.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
So, a couple of things.
Just a bit of trivia for you guys. Just knowing a guy's name.
I love something when you think it's going to be a joke and then it just turns into you just saying a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys ever wonder why they do it? Well, here's the actual reason.
Yeah.
A couple of things I kind of leaked out. Both Ubisoft things. I reckon it's fucking tactics, man. All these leaks that are, you know, coming out in inverted commas. People love to read about a leak. I think we talked about this last week or some other thing.
By the way, there's a fresh round of reports that this Mario and Rabbids crossover is happening.
Yes.
And fuck, I hope it turns out to not be true.
It sounds like it's real. It sounds pretty
sounds
real.
Like it's real, but
that could
man,
be all right.
I'm going to have to play it, and I don't I don't want to play something that has the rabbits in it. I do not like the rabbits.
The people who made, I think they're the minions, basically.
Exactly.
Right?
I'm not into it.
I could do that. All those Mario RPGs have been good.
I just can't.
Sure, but it's not made by them. It's made by Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't conceive what that game will be, which is intriguing to me.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah? Yeah. Sure. Crossovers are always a bit of fun as well.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Origins has been leaked.
Yeah.
That's the most 2009 fucking headline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Origins, I think you would talk
about it. I tweeted about it.
Yeah.
It's the worst subtitle to anything. It just says, we put no thought into this and this is going to be bland and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's early.
Yeah.
So there's like a screenshot and some details about it. It looks like you're in ancient Egypt, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks nice.
Yeah.
And hopefully the little bit of time
off. You think it sounds cool? Sounds to me like you're in denial.
Oh, shit.
About the quality of this game.
Well, looks like it's time for me to never speak again because the best thing has already been said.
That joke was so good, my sphinx to clench up.
Yes!
I'm in the pyramidal of an orgasm.
Oh, I'm about to crack a Cleopatra.
I'm tooting Carmen in my pants.
Guys, Egyptians worshipped cats.
Oh,
just
nice.
A fact.
That's
just
a fun fact
I'm throwing out there. Yeah.
So, he's done it again.
You're a little Egyptian dude on a boat in this screenshot. There's a fucking
little man in the boat.
There's a marker pointing to something 250 meters away. Which...
Your favorite kind of thing.
So, did the ancient Egyptians use meters as a form of measurement as well?
Yes.
Did they really?
No, I'm saying valid point.
It's annoying.
They used hieroglyphs.
It says assassinate the crocodile, and the crocodile is obviously some sort of merchant who's done wrong by somebody.
Oh, it's a crocodile.
I fucking hope it's an actual crocodile.
You just stab a croc in the head.
Blimey.
It's going to be another fucking Assassin's Creed game by the looks of things.
Look, it's a left turn in terms of setting. It's not, you know, some European city, which kind of is interesting, but...
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm checked out of this
series. I kind of don't want to look at this screenshot because in my head I'm picturing it like, you know that that DreamWorks animated film? Is it called Prince of Egypt?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm picturing like that, but then I'm also picturing like Killer Croc from Batman.
That's exactly
what it
is.
And I
kind of
don't, I don't want, yeah,
it's
okay.
Just
that's not what I had in my head at all.
It just looks like a video
and
game.
And the Sphinx was in the background in my head.
It does look like an Assassin's Creed game.
Totally.
Really.
I was hoping some time off might have. And in sort of the same vein, Far Cry 5, some details about that.
Okay.
You guys would be excited about this.
Yeah.
What are the
details?
Wild West.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, I think that might be cool. I just kind of hope they change it up a little bit more again.
Yeah, I mean,
because that's an interesting play to take in when we're about to get Red Dead 2,
totally. Yeah.
Which is going to.
And I bet they have been in production for a year already doing the Wild West thing, and then that got announced, and they went, ah, fuck.
Yeah, but it's not like they knew. It's not like there was no way of knowing that was going to be coming out.
No, but I didn't really know beforehand.
You could assume. Yeah, we speculated about it.
The people
it on
who
this
made
show.
Armageddon didn't think that Deep Impact would come out in the same fucking, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if it had been Deep Impact 2.
That's true. No, it isn't. That's not true.
Development time.
If they made a Deep Impact 2, I think everyone would go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a comet hitting an already dead planet.
Yeah, but because Deep Impact 1 wasn't that successful.
But Red Dead 1. Look, whatever. You can use as much logic as you want. Far Cry 5 is going to come out, obviously. But the things about it that are coming out is that it's probably going to be in the Old West.
Mm-hmm.
The Wild West, if you will.
Yeah, the wiki wild.
Maybe that's what they mean by this.
Yeah. That guy who I thought was Cisco for years, but apparently wasn't Cisco.
Drew Hill, baby.
From that song. Yeah.
Drew Hill.
And that's about it for that.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't do a primal and just suck.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, 4, I was already, that was as much of that sort of game that I could take. 3 and 4, sort of back to back.
Sure, yeah.
And like, the Wild West thing might be enough to revitalize it, but it's the same thing with Assassin's Creed, where it's just, if it's this thin veneer of setting over the
but
top
I think,
of.
But also, that's
the same old.
That's different because you're already kind of, people are kind of already over Assassin's Creed, which it seems like there's still people have a lot of affection for.
I think
Far Cry.
The reason that people are over Assassin's Creed is because they did this over and over again. Yeah. It just became boring.
There's been a fair bit of time between 4 and 5.
Yeah.
New setting.
Yeah. Yeah. They haven't fucked up Far Cry yet they fucked up Assassin's Creed.
5, I could 5 could totally be great.
Yeah.
And like putting themselves in the Old West, hopefully they can find a middle ground with that where it's not like Primal where it makes it a little dull.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Primal I don't think was really viewed as like a proper entrant in the thing. It was just meant to be a little.
And was it viewed as a massive failure or is it just us who didn't like it? I'm not sure.
I don't think it sold bad. Well. I'm sure it did fine.
Right.
Like, I reckon it would have, having that name on it and stuff, and it's probably with a bit of a, it'll probably, you know, constantly be having price drops on the e-store and enough new people will come to it.
I keep almost buying it.
Yeah.
Apparently they got the setting from a survey that they did as well, which I think is so fucking lame.
Yeah.
To be going like, all right, everybody, where to next? I guess it's Antarctica.
Yeah, I don't like that kind of stuff. Like, you tell me what I'm into.
Yeah,
like,
you're the creative. You decide.
Anytime stuff that goes to an audience vote, people actually don't know what they want.
No, that's
people
totally
think
true.
They know what they want, but
absolutely.
They actually don't.
Yeah, like, man.
You're
we
the
should
creators,
rule them with an iron fist. You're right. And apparently it'll be releasing in September, so it'll probably be an E3 thing and Fallout 4. Just
great.
I'll be 31.
I am fucking stoked about how more games are doing that now as well.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
We got to do, by the way, in the next couple of weeks, we got to do an E3 predictions episode.
Oh, yes, we do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Oh, this was kind of funny.
Oh, Andrew Dice Clay over here.
This was kind of funny. I fucked this girl on Hickory Dickory Duck. The lady sucked my cock. Hideo Kojima wrote this thing about the movie Logan.
Hideo Kojima. This fucking guy, Hideo Kojima.
Let me tell you, old snake, you want to see an old snake? Oh, boom. Right there.
Hickory dickory dima. I got my dick sucked by Hideo Kojima. Andrew Dice Gamer.
Very good.
He wrote this, Kojima, not Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Kojima wrote this.
I was lost in the riff.
He wrote this essay about how Logan and Metal Gear Solid 4 are really similar, or like the series as a whole.
Oh.
And it's all this shit of him like really forcing it. He clearly just liked Logan and he was like, yeah, I was doing it years ago.
I do love how much Hideo wears his fandom on his sleeve. He's constantly on Twitter. Anytime he gets a new album that he likes or
he's always posting Spotify screenshots.
Yes, and he's always posting like the Japanese posters for movies that are coming out that he's excited about. Yeah. I think that's cool. Like, I I think it's nice because no, like a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah.
Like a lot of like directors of anything kind of pretend that they're in this bubble where they're just like now that they're doing the thing, they're just uninfluencable. Like it's just like they're just it's just coming to them from divine intervention and they're not absorbing stuff from any other.
Yeah.
But I guess Hideo's work does wear its influences on its sleeve
totally.
More so than most other things do.
Well,
the Quentin Tarantino of games.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Speaking of directors like Quentin Tarantino, I watched Kong Skull Island and the director of that is making the Metal Gear Solid movie.
Ah, right.
And like Kong, it's visually awesome, poorly structured and written.
Right, okay.
And visually
so
I was...
So a Metal Gear movie. Like kind of.
And the guy, the director loves the games. And he like posted this very sincere, very well thought out, like kind of... not diatribe, the opposite of a... Just a comment, a blog post, basically.
A liver colony.
Yes. The opposite of a diatribe, a liver colony. He wrote a little thing about how he thinks you actually can adapt a video game to a movie that sounded pretty reasonable. And
okay.
I mean, I reckon he's got a reasonable shot at making a good movie out of this.
Controversial. I really liked the King Kong movie that Peter Jackson made.
I fucking love that movie too.
I really liked it.
Yeah, really? I think it's great.
I thought it was okay. It was a little long.
Oh, man. I watched The Big Short again the other day.
Oh,
here
we go.
It's still a fucking fantastic movie.
Okay.
It moves and it's smart and it's funny.
Oh, it's not smart.
It is smart. No, it is It is smart in the way that it's created and made and direct. Like, not smart as in, like, anyone can it should be think that... Oh, I'm not going to get into it. Not smart
we
as
just
in,
disagree.
It's a well-made movie. And, you know, who doesn't agree? The bloody Academy and shit.
Oh, yeah.
So... Do you think that a bunch of old Jewish white men, your favorite type of person, you've said it to me before, do you think that they're wrong for the first time in your life?
Yes. Oh, I also watched Ghost in the Shell, the actual live action one. Really good. Worth watching.
Okay.
That's great.
Great.
Yeah.
Any more news or should we start to
think
about...
We've got a couple of questions
here. Let's do some questions.
We
We've only just hit an hour, so let's do some questions and wrap it up. Yeah.
Because we asked last week for some questions and then didn't answer one.
Yeah.
So we'll do it a little bit.
We answered some accidentally, I think. But yeah.
Yeah.
Someone asked what a sausage sizzle is. I think we answered that on the page.
We did, yeah.
Sausage and bread.
Yep.
But the sausage has been sizzled so that it is edible.
Yeah.
To the point of edibility.
It's like a hot dog in a bun, but it's a sausage in a bread.
And he also asked, this is Jeff, he also asked what we thought might be on the SNES mini thing. But I think that's pretty like... There's not like the SNES game library has been done to death by now, you know? Like,
yeah, every website has loved writing their own speculative as if there's any room for like
hidden gems
personal,
and stuff anymore.
Yeah.
It'll be Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island.
I love that now you're actually just doing it.
Yeah.
Mario Kart, Metroid. But you know what? Knowing Nintendo, it'll probably be something weird.
Aero the Acrobat.
Yeah. It'll
Bubsy 2.
Razor.
Yeah, they'll leave out something that seems like a weird omission.
Yeah.
And it'll be
probably,
like...
It'll probably be Metroid.
Yeah. And who gives a fuck? You're not going to be able to buy them anywhere anyway, so who cares?
Yeah. I kind of have that attitude to these.
Yeah. They're not for us.
Yeah. They're for people who go on Amazon and buy it immediately, like a minute after it's released.
Yeah.
William asks, why is there no senior Mario, only baby and regular age?
Oh, yeah, no Grandpa Mario.
No Grandpa Mario.
That would be, I'd like
There's
to see that.
There's a Cranky Kong, like I have a Cranky Kong sort of Mario.
But you know, you know what I've always thought is
Son
really...
of Mario. And then have old Mario
you
as
know
well.
What I've always thought is really cool about Cranky Kong is that he's Donkey Kong from the original game.
Yes, apparently.
That is cool.
Also, Donkey Kong in the new ones is meant to be his grandson. So there's some father missing in the middle there.
Oh, I guess there is, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
Which would be Donkey Kong Jr.
Donkey Kong Jr.
That's Donkey Kong Jr. But then what's happened to him by the time Donkey Kong Country rolls around?
He did.
Do you reckon he's just dead and they never talk about it?
No, he's skipped out.
Maybe he's going to come back with like a big scar over his
eye. Yeah, exactly. It's like how the Hulk had to go into
space. I need you to help me fight these mosquitoes.
Yeah, exactly. Giant alien mosquitoes. Yeah.
That would be cool. I mean, you know, they're sort of due for a bit of a bit
they're
of
sort of what?
Christ. They're sort of due for a shuffle up of Mario Kart. Like, it would be cool if they brought in a grandpa Mario, or if they did, you know, in the way that, Yeah, when they brought in Wario and Waluigi and the baby characters and stuff. In the Yoshi's Island on the DS, there's baby Wario and baby DK, which I kind of thought, oh, here we go. This is now they'll start putting these in everything. But they just never have.
Well, there's baby everything in Mario Kart. Yeah, was that what we were just talking about?
No, but there's no baby. There's no Diddy Kong.
No, there's no Diddy Kong, but there's no baby Peach, DK. There's baby Rosalina, there's baby every fucking
thing. Well, Tony was saying that he thought that there
was
saying
in Yoshi's Island DS, there's baby Wario and baby Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
But they've never put them in any other game.
I don't think anyone likes the baby ones, do they?
Mean, technically, they have put them in other games just as adults.
Fucking hell.
I'm baby Adam, essentially, right now, and I want you to treat me like it.
We do all the time.
I wish we'd
wrap up.
You
wouldn't yell at a baby, would you? I hope you wouldn't. Josiah, I think that's probably how you pronounce it. Or Josiah, I don't know. Antimicrobial.
I went to primary school with a Josiah.
Nice.
Yeah. Sorry, I mispronounced that.
He says
Jonathan.
Bloodborne is objectively the best game ever made, and it is way up there, and I reckon you guys should play it. You played
it. I have played it, and I was too bad at it to enjoy.
But we should say this quickly. Someone made this as a comment on our page, and I'm sorry to this person that I'm forgetting their name.
Yeah.
But they were saying that Mario Kart 8 Deluxe,
yes,
the Wii U is one of the greatest versions, is one of the greatest games of all time, and the Switch version only improves upon this. The prophecy has fulfilled itself.
Yeah, fuck.
Finally, after all these months of ridiculing that phrase,
yeah,
I actually would say that about Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, that's a fair comment.
I was like, this is at the time on the Wii, I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was like, it's gotten more perfect because now I can take it on the tram.
Yeah, fuck, that's good. Someone also commented asking why Donkey Kong is included in these kind of games. I like Donkey Kong. I think he's a good character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that on our page? Someone was going, Donkey Kong, who plays as Donkey Kong?
Yeah,
Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah, like DK. Why is Link in it? He's not a Mario character.
Yeah, that was DLC where I think they thought they needed like an angle for it. It's weird that Diddy Kong's not in it.
Yeah,
I liked
isn't
playing
it?
As Diddy Kong in the other games.
Yeah.
I thought he's never been
any of the others.
Yeah, he has.
Has he?
Yeah.
Diddy Kong Racing he was in, but that was a
completely... No, he's in the Wii version.
Yeah, which is the one that I used to have. I guess that's the one I never played.
I thought it was cool in that you could unlock Funky Kong.
Yeah.
Could you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go buy that game.
I will say that's the one thing about the roster in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is that there's not, like, I mean, I guess like Link and Villager and stuff.
Yeah.
But they used to do this thing where they would be constantly throwing in like just fucking weird characters.
Yeah.
Like you could play as Wiggler in one of them.
Yeah.
There was
Birdo in one?
Birdo's in some of them. Yeah. There was like there was the GameCube you could play as like Petey Piranha. Like
oh,
the big
right.
giant piranha. That was the first one that had King Boo in it, even though he's back in this.
Yeah.
I kind of wish there was like, I mean, when Dry Bones was in it for the first time, that was like a weird
on the DS,
thing that they put him in. Yeah.
Right.
I kind of wish this one had like some very obscure, like left field big character
like
in it.
Chibi Robo or someone.
Yeah.
Like some weirdo.
Yeah, fuck.
But I guess them having Zelda in it is a big enough. And all the Koopa kids is like, I guess that's the version.
That's pretty sick. Yeah. Yeah. But if they, so someone, I think I just read this somewhere on some site saying, how cool would it be if they like did the Smash Bros. Thing and imported a lot of characters from other, like outside the Mario world.
Yeah. I will say, when they announced Link being in DLC, I was very much against it. Like, I just kind of was like, I don't know how I don't know, just the weird thing of like wanting the purity of it kind of maintained. And
see,
now, I don't care.
You goddamn piece of shit.
Yeah.
I want purity maintained.
Link
that's
is
how
also.
How it starts. It's nice being able to get the tracks. That's better than the. Because who cares about characters in Mario Kart games?
I just look at the back of their head.
Yeah.
Having Hyrule as a track is way more interesting.
The Hyrule track is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Link is the most boring character you could import as well.
You mentioned Funky Kong.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, this will be separate. I've got something that I just noticed about Funky Kong.
I don't think we talked about this. Did we talk about this last week about how my worry of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe coming out on the Switch is that it means that they're not going to bother with a Mario Kart 9.
Oh, right. No, you didn't mention this. No.
But then I was reading somewhere that like maybe like they just end up releasing more DLC for this down the line,
yeah,
which I think would be cool because I don't – I was thinking about it and I was like, yeah, I don't really need a new version of the game built from the ground up because the mechanics of it are so good. But I think it would be sick if just every couple of months, if they, you know, rather than having a development team focus on a whole new game, it's obviously going to take a much smaller team to just every few months, here's 8 new tracks.
Yeah.
Or if they just gradually went through and added in like all the tracks from old games, every now and then throw in a new character. I think that would be great if they kept that going for a long time.
That would be cool.
Freeing that development team, because that's the development team that's made ARMS. So if they've been working on a Mario Kart 9, ARMS wouldn't exist. Like, get them working on other stuff, on other different stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just use this as a base level where it's just going to sit there and constantly have new shit.
Same with Smash Brothers. As long as you do the pricing that right. Funky Kong, right?
Yeah.
He was in Donkey Kong Country 3. He was just like a fun surfer. That's when he first showed up. And he's like, hey, man, I'm Funky Kong. I'm just a cool surfer and I own like this travel business.
Mm.
And then in Donkey Kong 64, he suddenly is a gun nut.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm like, of course that douchebag turned out to be. Anyway, I was just thinking about him.
Okay.
But then in the Donkey Kong Returns games on the Wii and the Wii U, he's back. He's back with the travel business.
But he still has the guns at home. He's just that type of person where it's like, yeah, man, I'm just a cool bro. I'm just a cool dude. And then he goes out and, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Glad we came back to that.
I think what's going to happen with Mario Kart 8 is a year from now, they'll release a DLC pack with like, maybe 8 tracks and some new characters. And then 3 years later, assuming the Switch has continued to sell well, they'll release a new one.
Yeah.
I reckon that's what it is. I don't think they're going to keep pumping stuff out. I reckon they'll make you wait and they'll give you one and then they'll move on.
Maybe. Or it'll be just like a Mario Kart 8.5 where it's all the same engine, but it's just completely new. Yeah. Completely new courses and all the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Ty asks if it is too early to be talking about what we hope to see in next-gen consoles. The answer is yes.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
I read a thing, like a brief quote of someone, I think the main Zelda guy, going like saying something about what he was thinking for the next Zelda. And it just, like we said this at the time, but like, oh, fuck, the next, like, it just seems so crazy to think like...
Yeah.
It's crazy to think when you've just gotten a console, like, 5 years' time, this is going to be this, like, bargain bin, obsolete piece of shit that no one wants
anymore.
5 years'
time for the PS4 is 2018.
Yeah.
From when it launched.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah.
So, and I think this one will be a little longer, like the last one was, so it'll probably be like 2020 or something, but there'll be new consoles one day. James asks, doesn't ask, he just says Flink on the Mega Drive had without a doubt the best graphics of all time. And I just read that out because I miss the days when games used to have names like Flink.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Plock.
Yeah.
And things like that. We don't really get just those like someone just going blank.
Yeah.
This game's called blank. Now.
Which, like we said, I'd rather that than, like, Origins.
Oh, man, Origins, Ascension,
Saga.
Horizon Zero Dawn,
yeah.
It's the worst shit.
Yeah.
Think of some names.
Oh, I saw...
cough and write that down. Cramped!
Yeah.
Well, that was just a word. That's just cramped. Antimicrobial.
Ooh, I saw, I think it's legitimate, a test of the motion capture for The Last of Us 2. And it was a one-to-one, the person's face with the things, you
I think
know.
They were posting something, like Ashley Johnson, I think her name is, who's Ellie, who's like posting on Twitter about it.
Yeah, and it looks incredible. It looks, it doesn't look photoreal. It still looks like a video game, but my God, like it is just so detailed. It's going to be incredible.
Hey man, the future is going to be an exciting place. Let's hope we get to bloody see it with all these politicians, huh?
Oh yeah.
Hey, what are they up to?
Yeah. Remember when we were going to have a nuclear war with North Korea 2 weeks ago? Fucking hell.
Those are the days.
Yeah.
Well, should we wrap this up?
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah. Guys, thanks for all your questions. Thanks for sending us stuff through.
Yep.
Get your tickets to the live Mario Kart 8 tournament, tinyurl.com/filthycasualsmk.
Mm.
We're on all the socials, Twitter at filthycaspod. Our email address, filthycasuals.pod.
Yes, at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. We're on Facebook, Filthy Casuals. Thanks so much for listening. And
I wanted to say, we haven't said this for a while. Mm. Give us an iTunes review.
Oh yeah.
Like we've got a lot of you guys listening and I know like it's hard for us to check because if you're in America, we don't actually get to see your reviews.
Yeah, you have to have a different iTunes account, which I do, but I just never log into it.
Right. But it really helps.
A lot of people don't use iTunes as well, but
that's true.
If you have an account there, it does.
It's
bloody get help out there. This does help. Podcast that we know and love.
Yeah. Oh, and like there's a Reddit for Planet Broadcasting if you want to go to Reddit.
Oh, yeah.
.com/r/planetbroadcasting. Like our episodes go up there, so if you want to comment there. Just any kind of like, yeah, commenting and sharing just
feedback
really helps.
And share, yeah, it does yeah, help. Yeah.
It really helps the show.
Go out there and tell 20 other people and to listen to this. Mm-hmm. And then when they get 20 other people to mm-hmm. listen to it as well, you get 10% of that listenership.
That's true. That's very
That's
true.
Very
That's
true.
How it works. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks very much for listening. And as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
I'm going to release a video game called Grump.
Grump free?
No, just Grump.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.